He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. We're not broadcasting from the Hamptons or the Poconos today. We're broadcasting from world headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. It's the Best Stocks Now show. I don't expect a lot of trading, a lot of activity in the market today. In fact, the market closes at 1 p.m., but we are off to a green start. The Dow is up right now a little bit here. Let's see how many points it is up right now. It is up 175 points to 47,602. The NASDAQ is up a quarter of a percent. It's up 57 points. It looked like some of the AI chip stocks were doing best this morning. The NASDAQ's at 23,270. The S&P 500 is up 20 basis points. I think the big news is that there seems to be some stabilization and the confidence coming back into Bitcoin, the buying coming back into Bitcoin. And I do think it was spreading to the rest of the market, the fear factor, which definitely is contagious. Today we've got Bitcoin up, 1,200 points. Let me see if it's still holding. It is up 1,399 to 92,254. So it's up about $10,000 off of its low here recently. So welcome to today's Best Stocks. Welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, and a couple of the hardest working guys in the industry, in the business, here giving you live content on
showing
a Friday.
Yeah.
Showing up with fried turkey breath and you know, all the antacids and everything like that at work. But you know, there's actually quite a bit of news here today. Well, you've got 2 days worth of news, and there's quite a bit happening around the world and in the markets today. A little more information coming out on those Google chips, which Broadcom is involved in, and I'm thinking maybe Applied Materials might be involved in that, because I saw Applied Materials breaking out last week. It's not a stock that has been breaking out for quite some time. So I got to do a little further investigation. I got to ask Grok what is going on there. But we do have a green start to the market here so far today. We finished up strong on Wednesday, and I'm going to credit Bitcoin. The stabilization, it finally stabilized at around 82,000. But that was a precipitous drop from 125,000. It went into a bear market of about 30%. And, you know, you never know how Bitcoin is going to handle a crisis like that, but apparently there's still plenty of big buyers out there buying the dip. And, Barry, I think it's at 92,000 today. We're up 10,000 off of that low. I think that's going to help put a bottom. There were a lot of free fall stocks in the stock market here recently.
Yeah, I mean, I own a very, very, very small amount of Bitcoin. I've kind of held it just for, you know, for the kids over the years, but very, very small amount. But I'll promise you, I've never rooted for Bitcoin more than I have over the last week and a half, where, you know, we've talked about we need the stabilization before you can have, you know, where we're at, you know, given where valuations are, you got to have that speculative kind of fervor a little bit in the market to help, you know, to help push it higher when you're at these valuations.
So been
rooting to see a bottom there, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, people seeing that big dip, looking at ETFs that were down considerably from where they were, looking at a lot of the cryptocurrency stocks, Coinbase, Robinhood to some extent, interactive brokers, all kind of in on that cryptocurrency. So it definitely impacts the rest of the market. And with that rebound in Bitcoin, now we'll see if the rebound, if they're going to sell the gains in Bitcoin. That remains to be seen because we're trading on very light volume right now. It's hard to really gauge where the market is really at because of the light volume, but I guarantee you on Monday and Tuesday of next week, everybody comes back with a vengeance, and the real market will stand up there at that time. Right now, we're just seeing kind of a very thinly traded market. It was very thinly traded. The big news this morning was the CME Group had to halt trading due to cooling issues at data centers. Cooling issues. Well, it's freezing cold across America today. I don't know where these data centers are at, but it brings out the importance of the air conditioning and the cooling. And, of course, that's why you've seen stocks like A.O. Smith and Aon, A-A-O-N, which are you know, air conditioning stocks of all things. Not exactly high tech, but in AI, they're a very important part, cog in the wheel. So there was apparently some kind of cooling issue at CyrusOne data centers this morning.
And that's one of the first times I know I woke up this morning to an alert. It's like CME Group down. Of course, we know, CME Group, that's when we're rattling off percentages of what the Fed cut's going to be, or chances of a Fed cut, or when we're rattling off, they're the ones that provide the futures amounts. And so I woke up this morning and they said they were down, and I'm like, I'm thinking a hack or this, right? And then of course comes out that it was a cooling issue, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen, right?
No.
That particular explanation. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, what happens, we're building all these data centers, for example, in Texas. What happens when we get some, monster heat wave, right, across
and there's a crush
Texas, because we are.
Yeah. CyrusOne is headquartered in Dallas, Texas, and operates 55 data centers globally. I always liked the guy in the cow suit that was on CNBC. He was giving live updates from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Remember that guy? He's still around, I think, that wore a big cow suit.
Yeah.
You couldn't miss him in a crowd, if he got on the train or something. He looked like an Angus cow. Anyways, we had some decent stock movers on Wednesday. We had all of that Google news coming out with their chip and Broadcom breaking out along with that. And then you had the big news. I think that's going to kind of, I think it's a flashpoint here with the immigration. And in fact, it is. I predicted to my wife, I said, I think the shooting of the two National Guard by the Afghani refugee, I think that's going to really cause a pause in the immigration. And Trump is going to halt immigration from all third world countries after the National Guard shooting. Well, we have 200,000 people in America from Afghanistan. 90,000, from what I understand, came in when we evacuated and ran.
Afghanistan, right.
From Afghanistan, and there's no way. I mean, I saw clips of Mayorkas saying, oh, we vetted every single one of them. Why did they lie? That's just a bunch of BS. They were getting out as fast as they could. Nobody was being vetted. And we have 90,000 that came in during that period of time, and one of them drove clear across the country from Washington State to Washington, D.C.
That was what got me. Yeah.
That is weird. To shoot a woman National Guardsman in the chest and in the head, and of course she died yesterday, and the other one is in critical condition. So anyways, there's a halt on all migration from all third world countries. So I'd have to look up what a list of third world countries are today, who's on that list. But anyways, it'll be interesting to see, if this guy was linked with anybody else. He did work for the CIA in Afghanistan, Then he moved to the U.S. in 2021 under a Biden area resettlement program for Afghanis who were at risk and who worked alongside U.S. forces in Afghanistan. But anyways, I think that's a seminal moment here. It's time to assess everybody that's here, if that's even possible at this point. The Atlanta Fed's Q3 GDP estimate edges down, but it's at 3.9%. That's pretty hot. And, of course, that may, not be good for a rate cut in December, which the market is now counting on. If it doesn't get a rate cut, it's going to throw one heck of a conniption. And, Barry, maybe you can look up what the date is of that Fed meeting in December, because that's going to be a big one. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. HSBC has set a target of 7,500 for the S&P 500 by the end of next year. And, of course, we saw another one from Deutsche Bank with 8,000. I'm much closer to HSBC's target price. And I'm basing my 12-month target price on the earnings estimates for the next 12 months. Actually, we're looking out to 2027 earnings, believe it or not. That's the way the market works. You have to realize it's already priced in earnings for the last four quarters. It's already priced in earnings for the next four quarters. And it's looking out now to 2027 earnings, which the market will trade on, and should get to that target price by the end of next year. And at 7,500 for HSBC, I think I'm at 73, just over 7,300 right now. To get to their target price, you'd have to use a higher multiple than I'm using. But the earnings estimates, and that's why I say we had this recent scare in the market. We had this sell-off in the market. In fact, you know, the tributaries of the market, the creeks, the streams, the hinterlands really got slammed. But I said there's going to be another buying opportunity. And I base that on my macro outlook, which is the best indicator of all, is those earnings estimates. That's what the market is looking to. And it's not just me. It's HSBC. It's Deutsche Bank. Now, the multiples that we use are all a little bit different, and the earnings that we use are all a little bit different, but the market definitely can support somewhere in the mid-7,000 next year based on what we know now.
But we got an 86, as you mentioned, going into the break. We've got, you know, basically an 87% chance of a 25 basis point cut at the December 10th meeting. Obviously, whether we get the cut there or, you know, whether we look into 2026, we, you know, kind of think it's kind of set that we're going to have, you know, some easing certainly in 2026. And so that's another, you know, another one of those important tailwinds for the market and valuations in general.
Well, it helps the multiple. It helps keeps that bloated multiple. Remember, the last 5 years, the average multiple was 20. AI came along really when ChatGPT came along. Well, I'd have to look up. Has that been 2 years now since ChatGPT came out?
It should have been March of 2023.
Okay, so that helped.
Yeah, March of 2023. Yeah, two and a half years basically.
That was a game changer really as far as the multiple of the market, because you saw all of a sudden growth monsters like Palantir and Nvidia show up, and AMD and the other Broadcom chip makers, and ASML lithography. ASM still plays a major role. That stock's gotten kind of juicy once again. But when the market sold off, when it was selling and reeling, and I said, you know, it's going to go through this, that multiple got up to 23. So you can kind of use that as a guide going forward. That's the five-year high. And then with the sell-off, we got down to 21.5. And I said, well, now there's a little bit of room there in that market. And sure enough, the buying came back with the stabilization. Two things happened. Bitcoin stabilized, number one. But I think the odds of that, and I don't know what changed the odds on that December rate cut. The last thing I heard out of Powell's mouth was it's not written in stone. What's changed since then?
It's been a round trip. It's so funny. I'm looking, if you look a month ago today, it was 90% chance, right? 90% chance. Right now we're at 87. But if you look at what's happened in that last month, certainly from the time, as you mentioned, from the Fed meeting and his speech, the chances of a rate cut really plummeted to, I believe it was a little bit below 50% at one point for a period of time. And then what we had, not this past week, this past weekend, you had, this kind of consensus starting to build where it's like, you know it's going to be a split meeting and they're naming, hey, we've got, so many votes over here on the potential cut side, right? So many over here on the stay side. And, it's just, and that's, correlate that to what have we seen in the market, right, Bill?
The market is priced, it's priced in a rate cut. And if it doesn't get one, we're going to have a sell-off in December.
And here's the key, as you mentioned, it was a valuation issue, and the one thing that affects what a palatable valuation is interest rates. If we look at what a quote-unquote, the formula for an expected or palatable P.E. ratio, right, interest rates are in the denominator on that, so the higher interest rates, the lower multiple that's accepted, and so as interest rates go down, you're willing, right? The market's more willing to accept a higher multiple, and that's you've laid it out over the last two and a half months in terms of a valuation issue. That was the shock. That's exactly what the shock was to the market, as you said. Your buddy Powell never gives you many favors.
No, he always disappoints. But we got to a forward PE of 23. And the market shuddered. It shuddered and started shaking at that level and shook a lot of people out of those crypto, rare earth. And now they've all stabilized. And, of course, you've got and the PE came down to 21.5 last Friday. So that gave us a little bit of wiggle room. And along with that, the bond market, the 10-year came down to 3.99. So 10 basis points, 15 basis points, I think, and so that's all helped. But now we're getting back to an overpriced market again. You can never win. And in the meantime, you got Putin over there. I see Germany's going to buy. They're going to really arm themselves. I think that they now realize that, America is not going to come. It will come to their aid under the NATO. But they need to also be prepared. You can't count on the U.S. to bail you out. And they've all increased their defense budgets. Boeing's going to build 96 Apache helicopters for Poland. Poland obviously would be the next one to go if Putin were to expand his trying to put the USSR back together. And in the meantime, I saw that over the last few days, an Intel executive's home was raided. He used to work for Taiwan Semiconductor. Okay, so that ought to say something.
There's been a lot of kind of undertones. I know the U.S. made an investment in Intel, but remember it was Trump made some comments in terms of leadership, and also they have some potential scrutiny in terms of from an espionage perspective.
Well, the CEO of Intel, the new one, and he's from Singapore. He says, "Oh, we would never ever steal trade secrets. We respect something property,
intellectual
property." But anyways, there's a little bit of a brouhaha here whether or not Intel got secrets from Taiwan Semiconductor. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market's hanging on to their gains. It's all in the green right now. We've only got an hour and a half left until, or 2.5 hours, I guess, till the market closes at 1 p.m. for the weekend. The Dow is up 175. The NASDAQ is up 75. One other issue that has been popping up going back to Taiwan, you know, President Xi has pretty much made it known that it's a foregone conclusion that Taiwan belongs to us. And, you know, I remember when Hong Kong was pretty much independent. It was very much independent and did their own thing. And then, nope, not anymore. Slowly they inched in to Hong Kong and took care of business. And the people that supported Hong Kong, you know, they took care of them. And they have the same ambition on Taiwan. And you have to wonder. Yeah, I always have to think about the risk out there. And when you're talking Taiwan Semiconductor, you know, if China went in there to Taiwan, and they're arming themselves too to the teeth right now with the U.S. encouragement, what would become? They make 80% of the semiconductors in the world. Yes, we have ambitions, and we're building foundries in the U.S. and Taiwan has a factory in Phoenix, but nothing like what they have in Taiwan. That, it seems to me, that would bring the whole world economy to its knees. We depend on these chips, Barry, now more than ever. Look what happens when an air conditioner goes out in Dallas. the CME goes down, right?
I mean, you're essentially talking, I guess, you know, probably the, you know, not quite as much of a shutdown and as say something like COVID, but I mean, you're talking a, you know, in terms of a world economic event, it would be, you know, massive, which in my head, I've always kind of said, you know, from a, you know, really China, you know, China invading Taiwan in my mind is more, you know, kind of, you know, cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Yeah,
because,
it went away,
you know,
it,
they've worked so hard. I mean, you know, they worked so hard to get back into the world economy, right? I mean, they've done it, you know, go back to the mid 90s, right? And they've made these efforts to get in, and they're here. And it seems, especially when you look at, say, that, you know, using Russia as an example and just have been mostly ostracized, right, by a large part of the world, you know, just doing it. I mean, the problem is, rationally, it makes sense not to do it. The problem is, in any governments that are run by a very small number of decision makers, right? You know, the smaller number of decision makers you have, the less chance you have for a rational decision, right? And
yeah,
so
it makes it,
like you say, Xi's best interest to probably do it at some point.
Well, he's definitely going to cut off his nose at some point in time, just like Putin went in and into Ukraine. So that's just something you got away in the back of your mind. I don't know where these Google chips are being made. I need to look into that. I got to believe it's Taiwan Semiconductor. But I'm starting to see the trickle downstream from this Google announcement, which I think it places Google in a very strong position to go up against NVIDIA. But here's some of the, I've been watching this stock Lumentum, L-I-T-E, which is a big beneficiary of this ramp up by Google. They call them Tensor Processing Units, TPUs. I've got to do, I'm sure we've got clients and we've got people in the Silicon Valley that listen to us that know all about tensor processing units. But, you know, when Meta came out and said they're going to spend billions on the Alphabet, it was reported that Meta is in talks to spend billions. I haven't seen any confirmation yet, but obviously the market thinks that is not being reported, that it's an actual deal. But you, obviously Google's a big beneficiary because they're going to be, making the chips with Broadcom. And I saw Broadcom stock breaking out, lo and behold, you know, why? Because it's tied. And I saw Lumentum stock breaking out a couple of weeks ago. And the other beneficiary, they're saying, is Amazon's Web Services, okay? And Micron. Man, I'm telling you what, the memory chip supply, which ebbs and flows big time. It's a very cyclical business. But right now, they're at one of the strongest points in the cycle as far as not being able to meet the demand at all. And that's driven memory prices in an average PC from $70 in a new PC to about $210. It's tripled it. So there's a lot of ripples throughout the tech industry when something like this comes along. And this is not the last thing to come along. That's why as a money manager, I also have to be looking at opportunities along with those risks and be the first to find those opportunities and act on them very, very quickly. Because by the time it gets to the big Wall Street firms, you know, they're paying a dividend by then, and the growth phase is gone, and they missed the whole thing. They're pretty bureaucratic. They're pretty sleepy. They're very risk-averse, it seems like. They feel more comfortable owning Johnson & Johnson and Kimberly-Clark and AT&T and Verizon and Procter & Gamble. Instead of Broadcom. I mean, even down to Broadcom, I don't see Broadcom show up in a lot of portfolios that come to us from Wall Street. Lumentum would never be in one of their portfolios. That's just the way it is. I see there's another crypto, just what we need. Just what we need, but it's big enough that Grayscale is going to come up with an ETF for Zcash. Buy a little of that for your kids, Barry. They're going to convert to the Zcash Trust. Zcash is up 770% so far this year. 770%. I don't think you can buy it right now unless it's in one of these. Some of these ETFs are a basket of cryptos. But if approved, Grayscale would have the first ETF dedicated solely to the privacy-focused Zcash cryptocurrency, which has seen its price skyrocket 770% this year. Now, you know what? I mean, Bitcoin is down 8% this year. Ether's down 13%. For this thing to be up 700% tells you that there might be something to it. Zcash. I'll stick with gold. Gold could gain another 20% next year, says Goldman Sachs. I don't know how you predict the price of gold. You got to be a guy that's totally, brings a pick and shovel into work every day, and you got one of those helmets with a flashlight on top of it so you know where the reserves are. But it comes down to supply and demand. Gold really has not a lot of industrial use, whereas silver has a lot of industrial use. Silver is in a lot of things. Silver is also more volatile because of it's tied, it's a commodity that's tied to booms and busts in the economy. But gold, the only real use that gold has is it's... Ever since the beginning of time, pretty much, I was listening to a guy explain how long gold has been used. It's shiny, it's precious, it's got weight to it, It's in limited quantity. It's in limited supply. Jewelry. It has all kinds of cosmetic uses. Adorning palaces and even the White House to some extent. Trump seems to like gold, but $4,900 is what Goldman Sachs is saying. Now, okay, this is an interesting story. The steel stocks are really struggling because you've got players out there dumping steel on the world markets. But there's one in Europe that's pretty big, ArcelorMittal, and they're going to do a bunch of layoffs, okay, because of weakness in the industry. And the Labor Party in France is trying to come in and nationalize the steel company so they can't do the layoffs, so they can protect workers' jobs. So that goes a little bit against what we believe here in the U.S. with the, ebbs and flows with the demands of the market. Whereas in Europe, you have a little much more of a bent towards socialism. We'll be right back. How about assuming someone's mortgage, Barry, at the low rate that it's at now? That idea is being floated. We'll be right back. You got to go where you want to go. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. It doesn't seem like the 50-year mortgage gained a lot of traction when that was thrown around. But, Barry, the idea of taking your mortgage with you to a new, that seems to me to be very viable. Or for somebody to be able to assume your mortgage. Now, I remember the day when some loans were assumable. And I don't know when that ended. But this seems to me, you know, most people in today's world are sitting there with, 3% mortgages. And which that's brought the whole industry to a halt pretty much. Why would you trade? Why would you go buy a bigger home or another home and have to pay in the mid sixes for a mortgage? Your payment's going to skyrocket. Obviously, there's you'd have to find somebody. They'd have to qualify for the loan. But what's your thoughts, Mr. Fiduciary, Mr. CFA, on an assumable mortgage or a transportable mortgage?
Well, on the surface, it sounds like, you know, great common sense, right? I think the problem is, right, and is the financization, if you will, and monetization of packaging up these mortgages and selling it, right? I mean, as we know from 08-09, you know, a bank, you get a mortgage from a bank. Chances are that bank is sending that mortgage immediately over to a different servicer. They're packaging up and selling those and taking a little bit of getting a cut at the beginning. The problem is, so what you're doing is, so you know, when you package those up, obviously someone's buying that package of mortgages. So that's, you know, in those assets, right, that credit, you know, the credit risk, all that, right, ideally would be a known item, right? Well, now, if let's say you've got, you know, some borrower who's going to let somebody else take over their mortgage, for example. So now you've kind of changed that investment pool, right? We got rid of this one credit that we were okay with, and then we've got to make sure we replace it with a credit that we're okay with, right? And so, you know, it's doable, but there are some weird, you know, I like the idea of moving your mortgage to the next property.
Well, yes,
of course,
you're still the same borrower.
The lender would have to be. Right. Yeah, see, I think that's, to me, that's an easier way to do it because, okay, the bank said, I'm comfortable with you, Bill, as a borrower, right? You know, I like your house, it's fine, cool, and then, hey, I found this one, do you like it? You know, it seems like it would be easier for them to say, you know what, that house is close enough to a like house. I mean, we do it on 1031 exchanges all the time, right, for investment real estate. So they say, hey, it's a like house, Bill, we'll just let you keep paying the mortgage on there. you got to pay the difference to buy the house or whatever, or hey, we'll let you open a little bit of a second mortgage, whatever. That the assumable part is the part I think that it seems a little bit more difficult, but you know, I think being able to take your mortgage with you sounds like a great idea. Now, here's the one problem is there's other credit instruments that people sell that if, you know, you may have owned this thing, and so, and if the mortgage gets paid off early, you actually make more of your capital faster, right? And so now if you start changing, say, some of these loans that are already in the package, and they're like, hey, you know, I was hoping that mortgage might have get paid off in 25 years. Well, if somebody assumes it, right, it's like, hey, that thing might, go all the way to maturity. So now you're kind of affecting, right, that investment that somebody has already made under some different pretenses. But I think it's worth exploring, especially, yes, though, when interest rates are at 6 or above. Right?
Yes, I think totally it's interesting.
Some outside the box. Yeah, you need some outside the box ideas. I've heard from the administration and how in the housing side of things that, you know, they're seriously looking for ways to improve it, but you know, it's a lack of supply and a rate issue.
Yeah. Okay. You know, now put April 1st, 2026 on your radar. Musk and Tesla are moving forward. It appears, this is a big rumor, but there's a lot of evidence to back it, a next-generation Roadster. Now, they made a limited amount of Roadsters to begin with in the early days. Those things are probably worth some money today. That was their first production car. It was sold from 08 to 2012. But they're going to push the limit on this baby. This has got my interest. I could see me driving one of these little, built heavily on the Lotus Elise chassis. Oh. That was the original one. These things aren't going to be cheap. But
said Lotus. I figured not.
No, all elect. Get one of these when your son's out of dental school and a dentist. An all electric supercar, sub 2 second, 0 to 60 miles per hour acceleration, 250 miles per hour top speed. Holy cow!
Ooh,
and a claimed range of around 620 miles. Because it's going to
get there. That's because you get there so fast.
Yeah.
That's why.
And a much smaller, you know, it's not eating up as much electricity. But if you're going 250 miles an hour across country, but I can't wait to see this thing. That's got my attention.
You could run that charge down pretty quick at 250.
Put a little modular reactor under the hood, and man, dude, you could go to Mars and that. It could fly. You know, maybe
be
fly.
Back to the eventually. It'll be back to the future. Yeah, you throw that nuclear Oklo on the back.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. I will say this though. I remember going to doing a workshop down in Florida several years ago in Sarasota. And the whole buzz was the weed stocks. Everybody, there were weed stock newsletters. There were weed stocks analysts. I'm the guy that said it's a crop. It's soybeans. It's not a good investment. Tilray, which was the blue chip, if there is such a thing, of the weed industry, is doing a reverse 1-for-10 stock split.
Ooh.
That's not good. I remember when Tilray was $300 a share after their IPO. And I remember meeting with the guy in Sarasota. He was either going to invest with me or a weed farm in Oregon. And he chose to do the weed farm in Oregon. I wonder how he did with that. I don't know. But that was all the buzz back then. Everybody wanted to invest in cannabis stocks. I said, no way. They're going to go up in smoke, and they did. Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully, God willing, to get the newsletter, 4 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
The This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.